Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Going to start off in the book of John this morning, John chapter 1. And just a quick reminder about tonight's service. I really feel encouraged of the Lord to begin a series on the I Am of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. There's a whole lot of teaching that comes out of who Jesus says, I am. It's not about I am the greatest thing that ever happened to earth. It's not about I am the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's not about I'm the best footballer, the best entrepreneur. Jesus comes as a representative of the great I am. He comes as the Father's Son to show the world his Father. And the authority that he has in him is from his Father, not of himself. And I really feel that Sunday nights is a great opportunity just to begin this series on I Am. So 5:30 tonight, and we've got our communion service as well in that. But this morning I just want to really continue on this message about being sons and daughters of God. You know, last Sunday was Father's Day, celebrated in most places in the world, but I know in America they celebrate Father's Day in May, I think, Mel, about the same time as Mother's Day. But here in Australia, Father's Day, and to many, Father's Day was actually a bit of a disaster. It was a bit of a painful day. It was a bit of a remembrance day for all the wrong reasons. But you know, right through history, God has never portrayed himself as a judgmental God, as a critical God, as a harsh God. He's tried to display himself as a loving God, as a caring God, as a gracious God, as a giving God. And so we discover that, you know, when we read the scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament, you know, there were the prophets of old and the leaders of old and the kings of old, and they really couldn't portray God in his true worth. And so people drifted back into their heathen ways of believing and, you know, all the rituals and sacrifices and all that stuff that God said, no, there's deeper ways of relating to me than that. And so he prophesies that he's going to send the Savior of the world. Amen? Not just another governor, not just another king, but he's going to send a Savior for the world. Now, the world back then was pretty tiny in its own thinking. The numbers of people on planet Earth, nothing like we've got today. The technology, nowhere near. The transport, nowhere close. And God decides to send his Son, Jesus, to save the world from what? From themselves. From an eternal separation from God the Father. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've shared about the spirit of an orphan. That in actual fact, when you're an orphan, you lack shelter, you lack comfort, you lack support. All these things you live in lack of. But God said, I don't want you to remain as orphans anymore. I want you to be known as my children. So in John chapter 1 and verse 12... it says this, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible this morning. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, Jesus, he, Jesus, gave the authority, that is the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, those who adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. God gave us the ability, the privilege, the power, the authority to become. You know, there's no other religion on planet Earth where their God is portrayed as a father figure. There's no love. There's no real injection of love. And there's real no hope of what's going to become at our passing from this life to the next. I had the privilege on Friday of talking to a Jew. He's not a Messianic Jew, he's a traditional Jew. And he's in his senior years, and he talked to me about his relationship with God. And he halfway through a sentence stopped and he said, "And you're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "I am." And he said, "That's, how do you see God?" So I started to explain to him that I see God as my Father. I see Jesus as my brother. I see the Holy Spirit as my comforter, my helper. I see God in a myriad of different ways. He said, "Well, in my Jewish culture, I never really grasped that love of the Heavenly Father towards me. We refer to Him as Father God, but we really don't have that relationship that you have as a born-again believer through Jesus Christ." And it was such a great opportunity for me to share with this traditional Jewish gentleman, he really was a true gentleman, about what it means to be a child of God. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking in the book of John, and John's Jesus is foretelling he's going away, and he says to his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans." Now, I want you to think about that this morning, because I like to read between the lines. I like to form a picture of what's going on. And we're talking about grown men here. We're not talking about little boys that have come off the street to get a piece of bread or a warm bed from Jesus. These are his fully grown adult male followers, the 12 that were close to him. And he says to them, "I'm going to ask the Father, and he will send to you another comforter." And he talks about the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says this line, "And I will not leave you as orphans." Now think about that. You're a mature male. You've been on earth, I don't know how old they were at the time, I'm not going to estimate, I could probably do some research, but not right now. Google it for me, Kim, get back to me on an email. He will. But you know, Jesus says these words, and to be an orphan means I'm not going to leave you in lack. I'm not going to leave you unresourced. I'm not going to leave you without love. And the masters just scratched their heads and thought, well, that's an unusual passage for Jesus to be saying now that he's going. But the truth of the matter is that we can be spiritual orphans without even knowing it. And you know, the more I get into the Word, the more I understand, and particularly when I get onto a particular passage about orphans or the Holy Spirit or whatever God's got me on at the moment, the world seems to inject encouragement to me that I'm on the right track. I went to a ministers' group meeting on Thursday morning. What a blessing it was to be in the company of 15 other pastors and leaders of local churches. It was a great turn-up. But I couldn't help but feel in my spirit the lack of their knowledge of being a son of God. They got wind that I'd served 20 years here in the church, and we'd had a bit of a celebration, and you know, a few things happened. And so one of the pastors asked me, he said, "So in 20 years of ministering in the same church, what's the good side of it and what's the not so good side of it?" And some of the pastors just couldn't grasp that one leader would be in one church for 20 years. Because so many are on 5-year tenures, and at the end of 5 years, the church vote them in or vote them out, or the movement moves them on to different locations. We talked about the advantage of being in one place, ministering to the same type of people and drawing based on the vision that God's given us for this house. And you know, there's no denying that God imparted vision into Jesus about his fatherhood so he could impart it into others. And you know, when you really think about it, the whole Jewish nation at the time were fatherless. They were governed by the laws. They were governed by the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were governed by the Roman authorities. Everything about their existence was putting them under this huge weight. And the only way they could approve themselves to God was to abide by the law to the letter, make sacrifices to, you know, abstain them of their sins, and to do everything that every governmental authority had put before them. Jesus comes and he says words like, I have come that you would have and enjoy life in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. John 10:10, the second part. You know? And you get those sort of words when you're in bondage and you're restricted and you think, well, how is that going to work for me? An orphan is an orphan. Unless someone adopts me, I'm going to live an orphan until I die. But God sends his son, Jesus, his son, his one and only son. And he says through his son, Jesus, I don't want the world to live in spiritual orphanism, if that's a word. I want to draw you all so that you become sons and daughters of mine. Now, I challenged you all over the last couple of weeks what that means to you. What does that mean to be a son of God? What does that mean to be a child of God? And it's amazing when you stop and think about the benefits that come from being a son of the Most High. There's benefits. There's benefits that he makes available that we lay hold of, apply to our lives in order to apply that to others' lives to bring them out of darkness and into his wonderful light also. Amen? And I quoted a few things last Sunday morning. What does God say that I am? I'm a child of God. I'm a branch of the true vine. I've been justified. I've been redeemed. I will not be condemned by God. All these sort of scriptures that come, and I've got four pages of them. And the I ams that God instilled into his son Jesus are now instilled again into the born again believers in order that we can go out and instill them into the not yet born again believers, the not yet churched, and bring them into the kingdom so they also can participate in what we participate. That was a long sentence, wasn't it? Come with me now to Galatians chapter 4. Because we as believers in Jesus, believers on his word, if we can't apply what he's offered to us to our lives, then Jesus hanging on the cross amounts to nothing at all. Amen? Can you picture it? I ring you up tomorrow and say, I've put $1 million in your bank account. Every one of you. Hot news. Get ready for the phone call tomorrow. $1 million. You go, wow, that's awesome. And you ring up your friends and go, wow, the pastor's just put $1 million into my account. Awesome. You ring up your kids. You ring up your work associates. You ring up everyone you know. You go, I can't believe it. I got $1 million in my bank account. And 20 years later, you haven't drawn $1 out of that $1 million. My giving to you, it'd actually have to be our giving, because Pastor Rob wouldn't let me give you $1 million each unless she approved it. But think about it. If you were given $1 million and you didn't use it, I would have been better off giving that $1 million to someone else who could use it. And so it is with the kingdom, friends, that God sends his son, Jesus, so that you can become a child of God, a co-heir and a joint heir with Jesus. The moment you step out of darkness and into light, the moment you step out of the kingdom of this world, the domain of this world, into the kingdom of God, accept Jesus as your Lord and you say, the whole of heaven avails itself to you. And you go, well, that's nice. And we don't apply what God sent his son to give us access to. In Galatians chapter 4 here, I just want to pick up in verse 4. And it says, but when the proper time came, or had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulations of the law. Watch this in verse 5. To purchase the freedom to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who are subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's sons. Verse 6, and because you really are his sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, therefore, friends, let's grab hold of scriptures like this for our lives so that we can face our life in Christ. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. Let's say that with me. I am no longer a slave.
I am no longer a slave.
But a son. Friends, you need to grasp that. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ. As a son, as a daughter, as a child of God, whatever the Father has promised his Son Jesus, you are A1 triple plus right there with him. There's no lesser degrees of sonship. There's no lesser degrees of being a daughter. Awesome. I am a son of God. I am no longer a slave to religion, to this world system, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed, free to follow the ways of the Father, to free to follow what the Son, Jesus, has done and do this and greater things also. Jesus promised me. Jesus calls me friend, according to the book of John, if I obey the commandments. Not because I have to, not because of the commands of the law, but because I've been set free from bondage. I am no longer a slave, but I am a son. Say it again. I am no longer a slave, but I am a son. Girls, you have to accept that. As I've been saying, if I can be a bride of Christ forever, you can be a son of God. Amen? But it's by God's grace, friends, that Jesus sent his Son, Jesus, to set us free from that bondage. We need to understand the purpose for what Jesus came. A lot of people will say to me, he came to die on the cross to redeem us of our sins. Yes, but so much more than that. Amen? The purpose of dying on the cross was to remove the break in the relationship between mankind and God. That was the purpose for him coming. But he dealt with the issue in order that we can no longer live a life separated from God, but we enter in as sons and as daughters of God. See, sin will separate you from God. Let's get it right down to basics. The idea or the basis of sin is to separate you from God. Amen? It spiritually orphans us. It cuts us off from a relationship with our Father. Amen? And for whatever reason on planet Earth, fathers and sons, fathers and daughters have been separated from their father. There's a myriad of answers to that. We're not going to go there today, but it's a reality. But so it is true in the spiritual realm. And so we cut off from God by sin, but it creates us to be spiritual orphans, and then that leaves us without a loving father. Caught up in sin. And so through Jesus, God, through Jesus, comes to reveal to us that God is a father. God is a father. You know, I listen to people pray during the week. It's really interesting. Heavenly Father. Father God. And it was so encouraging in my spirit to see people in our church and in other church groups I was with to begin their prayer with, Father God, Heavenly Father. You know, because that's who He is. But I'm wondering whether we really grasp the depth of what that means now that we are children of God. You see, Jesus came to show us exactly who and what our Heavenly Father is. He reveals exactly what a Father God is like. So when we read the Gospels, when we read about Jesus, we read about His relationship with His Father. You can remember perhaps the story of the prodigal son, where he separates himself from the father. The father didn't kick him out, go make a living. He decided, Dad, I want the inheritance. I'm going to make my own way in life. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to be awesome. People are going to follow me. And I'm just going to be awesome. And he falls into a heap because he runs out of money. He runs out of friends. He runs out of self-importance. And he runs back to his father. And his father greets him and blesses him and welcomes him back into the family. And so it is with Jesus. When we discover Jesus, he draws us back to the Heavenly Father. You see, you can say sin has separated you from the Father, but sin is a result of decisions you and I have made. God did not send sin into your life to tempt you. God sent His Son into your life to save you. So the world has all these ways of enticing us and pulling us and distracting us, and we step into a life that separates us from God the Father. We become those spiritual orphans. God's like no other God. He speaks His grace into us, His glory, His love, and we get revelation of that. His goodness alone. You know, the testimony that Michael has shared, it was only a saving of probably another $30, $40. God didn't have to do that. God could have said through the salesperson that Michael was dealing with, well, that tire's going to cost you $30, the rim's going to cost you another $20, and to put a tire on that rim, there's another $30. Thank you very much, $80. God could have chosen a time to take Michael from this earth into glory with Him, and Rosemary would have been left without a son. But through His love, through His goodness, through His grace, He said, I want to give you opportunity to pray into that situation, to break that curse over Michael's body and to set him free. And that's what the Connect Group did so wonderfully. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to make sure that the Spirit of my Father, notice this, it's not Jesus' Spirit, it's the Father's Spirit. It's the third person in the trilogy, third person in the triune nature of God. And He said, my Father is going to send to you another Comforter just like me. You know, can you picture what planet Earth would have looked like perhaps even days after Jesus went home to be with His Father without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit? You know, well, the Jews would have said, well, let's get back into the book. Let's see what the law says about this. Let's see what we can change. Let's bring this back into order. Jesus, you thought He was Messiah, but He wasn't, because He didn't fix all your problems. Come back. Let's believe for Messiah to come. Some of those Jews are still believing that today. But God in His love towards us said, I don't want to leave you to get messed up again. You know, you can usually pick kids that are only living with one parent. Their behavior is not quite the same as those where a mum and a dad are in the same household. You can pick it. It's sad, but it's true. A mother can do a great job raising a son or a daughter, but she's not a male. She cannot input that maleness into that child. And likewise for a dad. You know, I know single dads around here now that are raising their children. They love their children. They love to support them. But they can't input like a woman's love, like a mother's love can do. And so the child becomes a little bit askew, a little bit, can I say it nicely, dysfunctional. behavior is not quite what it's like, especially with young kids and just a single mum. They can get home as they get older and start to push the boundaries a bit, you know, flex a bit of muscle, demand their own way. Of course, with protection laws now, you're not allowed to smack children. Correction's just going to be a shake the finger and make sure it's the right finger. Shake it nicely, not too hard. The Bible tells us to train a child in the way they should go, and they will never depart from this. God sends his son, Jesus, to train us as children. I know some great theological men. I really do. I love and I admire the work and the study they do. But if they can become childlike in their faith, if they can just listen to the heartbeat of God, if they can just hear the voice of Jesus in their lives, things change. You know, I love the fact that we can be children of God even when we're in our 80s and 90s and crack that 120 years of age business. We're still children of God. Never stop learning from the Father. Never stop receiving of the Father. Never stop, you know, learning his ways and doing the things he tells us to do. I just want to pick up a little bit before I close off this series, because really we need to grasp who we are because we're now children. I want you to see that, you know, right at the beginning, right in the book of Genesis, God had a plan for mankind like no other plan. And that, unfortunately, but historically, man falls short of the glory of God. We can't always do what God tells us to do as hard as we try. Even the great apostle Paul said, I say the things I'm not meant to say. I do the things I don't want to do, but I still do them. The Bible is very clear in Romans that all fall short of all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And as holy as we try to be and as right living as we try to be, we live in a dirty world. We live in a world where there's stuff that just invades our space. But what I love about my Heavenly Father is I can go to Him and I can say, I listened to that today and I took it on board and I should have never listened to that, God. I read this article and God, I wished I'd never had that article across my desk, or never wished I'd, you know, sat down with that man or that woman and listened to what was going on. But you know, God's got a unique way of instilling in us that ability to filter, if you like, what's happening in our world, what's happening in your world, what's happening in my world, and we can say no to stuff. We can turn away from stuff. We can close up stuff. We can just bar stuff in our lives. And yes, they can call us religious freaks, they can call us kooks, they can call us what we like, but I know on that day of judgment, I know that on when I meet my Father in heaven, my slate, I believe, is going to be pretty close to being clean. Can't say it's going to be completely clean. I would hope it would be, but you know, I have that ability on a regular basis to go to my Heavenly Father and say, I really stuffed up. I really made a mess of that. I really should have been more attentive. I should have been listening to your voice. I should have been doing what Holy Spirit told me to do. But we all slip up. We all make mistakes, but so great is the love of the Father for the sons, the daughters of the house, the children that he calls his own, that he never wants us to slip. And when we do slip, he's always there to bring us back. Amen? Bible says in Genesis, he drove out a man out of the garden and placed a cherubim at the Garden of Eden. A flaming sword to turn away to guard the tree of life. That doesn't sound like a father's love, does it? And in verse 22 of Genesis, it says this, man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put his hand and take the tree of life and eat and live forever, we've got to get him out of here. Now, how many of you saw that movie, Lord of the Rings? Do you remember Lord of the Rings? Everyone's seen that? No? And there's a creature in there, Gollum, who was once once an upright person, once a normal being. But he turns into this horrendous thing. And really, that's what sin does to all of us. It turns us from that very image that God created us in to something that is unsightly in his eyes. But the other thing I like about God is that when we come to him, when we surrender our life and say, God, I've tried it my way. You know, great Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Don't put out a CD, is that what you're saying, Michael? I did it my way. You probably did it your way. But your way, my way, was in so many ways the wrong way. We do it according to our own way, and the Bible says, in the end, it brings us to destruction. We have our own way of thinking, our own way of planning, our own way of determining who God is. I don't know too many sons that when they live in a right relationship with their father can tell their dad what he's doing wrong, how he should be doing it. The love relationships, Dad, what would you have me do in this situation? Dad, how would you like me to handle this? And so God, I think it must have broken his heart to turn Adam and Eve out of the garden because they'd fallen short of his glory. Today, friends, if you're a spiritual orphan, this is what you are. You're alone in life. You start to learn that there's no one in it except you. You learn things like, there's no one to look out for me except me. I need to look out for number one. And the whole world system begins to work like this, like we're all orphans. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's interested in me. Nobody's concerned about me. Nobody loves me. And so we become this internalization where we just think about me, 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 me. But God didn't send his son Jesus just to create me. He sent his son Jesus to recreate me into his image, to turn me back into the right way of thinking. And that's why I love John chapter 1 and verse 12. To as many as received him. To as many who welcomed Jesus Christ. To as many as believed on him. To as many as put their trust in him. The Bible says he gives us the right, the privilege to become a child of the one and only living God. To as many as welcomed Jesus, he's going to show us what the Father's like. You see, Jesus came to deliver us from the bondage of performance. Don't you think about that? The bondage of performance. I've got to respond this way in my family home. I've got to live like this in my place where I do my business. When I front up to a shop front, I've got to be like this. When I'm hanging around with friends, I've got to be like this. Don't tell me you haven't noticed it. Because we all become who we want to become when we're around certain groups of people. But friends, can I say this again? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God wants you to become the child he's created you to be. Not like the world image of you must be, but what he wants you to be. Amen? Romans chapter 8, we went there last week. It says the spirit that he's put in us is a spirit of adoption. So when we receive Christ and Christ Jesus comes into our heart, you step into that place of sonship. No longer an orphan, no longer living alone, no longer abandoned, no longer without identity, no longer without someone to speak into your life, no longer without someone to correct you, no longer without an inheritance, no longer having to look out for number one, no longer having to live that kind of life. We now have access to the very treasures of heaven. Access to the blessings of God. Access to a loving Father. The Bible says that our spirit witnesses with His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I am a child of God, and as a child, I am loved by my Father. Jesus came to bring us into spiritual sonship. Not a slave, not to serve, not to work out our salvation, not to do just what we're told, but to come into a relationship with God. To be in a place where we can experience His love, experience His face again, not just His hand, experience His glory again, experience His blessing in our lives. God came to give you that, like He came to give me that. I see so many Christians, so many fellow believers that live like their number two son and below. God doesn't care for me like He cares for you. God doesn't provide for me like He provides for you. I don't see myself seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Well, really? I'm proud of my Heavenly Father. Not for my own pride's sake, because I'm proud in my spirit because of what He's done for me. I'm no longer a slave, but I am a son. Let's just close our eyes right now and receive of that this morning, shall we? Father God, we thank You right now for Your wonderful love. For Your wonderful, wonderful grace that You poured out. And this morning, Father, I pray, we pray, that You would deliver us from the mentality of an orphan, living as though it's all up to us, struggling, striving, competing, envying, eyeing what others have, and wanting what they have. Father God, bring us the revelation of Your fatherhood into our lives. Your love, Your acceptance, Your provision. Bring into us the revelation of Your destiny for us. Father God, we thank You. Father, I know that Jesus prayed that Your love that was shown to Him would be shown also to us. Pray today that that would happen in the lives of this, Your people. I pray today that when we look at our lives, we don't look at it through the eyes of an orphan or a slave or someone who's been cut off from a relationship with our Father. I believe with all my heart, God, this is a year where we need to step up and take hold of Your love and Your blessing, Your provision, Your grace, and Your changes You're making for us, that we begin to walk here on earth as sons, as daughters, and never again as slaves, and never again as orphans. Lord, I pray these things in Your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, to live like Jesus intended us to live, to live like God the Father intended us to live, takes a decision. And sometimes we step back into that, you know, I'm just not worthy of God's forgiveness. Not worthy of His provision. Not worthy of His grace. And it's just a slip back. My encouragement this morning for us all is that we, when we slip back, instantly we jerk the slack out and we just get back up there again and go beyond that. And begin to talk to God as though He's your Father right there next to you. And you say, no, Dad, I really underestimated you then. I really thought I was going to see Michael in that state. I really thought that Tara wouldn't be able to get that spare tire. I really thought the family were going to go hungry. I really thought that I'd miss out on being able to bless someone. Talk to Him. Listen to Him. And I encourage you all to read the Gospels and see how Jesus related to His Heavenly Father. Can I encourage you to come on Sunday nights and listen to the I Ams of Jesus? The I Ams because of the great I Am. And that same I Am spirit is now in you because Christ lives in you. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that for your glory? Nuh-uh. It's for His glory to be shown to the whole of the world. When they can see the change in you, they can see there's a possibility, a hope, that a change can take place in them. Amen? Amen. If you would like any prayer this morning for anything at all, have the opportunity to come forward at the altar here, and I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to come in agreement with you. There's something needing in your life, something lacking. If you need a fresh touch of Jesus, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you've never given your life to Jesus, why leave it till tomorrow? Come forward and receive of Him now. Receive of His fullness. Step out of orphanage into sonship. Step out of slavery into being a child of God. That's what it's all about. As a child of God, you can do so much more than you've ever dreamed or imagined.